Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our Prayer Room Ministry. So delighted tonight to be on our radio broadcast for our study of the Word of God. I just give reverence to God, who is my life, and to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to each one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so delighted today to be here, just thanking and praising God for just one more opportunity to praise and thank the Lord, hallelujah, and to study his word. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer, and then we're going to do a little different tonight, but we're going to have the reading of the Word of God. Amen. So I'm going to be starting reading from Psalms 7 tonight. Psalm 7. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without a cause is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in thy anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies, and awaken for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about for their sakes. Therefore return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to my integrity that is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tries the hearts of the righteous. God tries the heart and reigns. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he would whet his sword. He have bent his bow and made it ready. I have just read you the first 12 verses of Psalms number 7. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song.
And then these words came, I said, the Lord, you are good. Thanks for good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than I can praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try.
Don't go at this. Come on now. Anyway, I don't have time for this. We're gone, God. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, God, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I confess, I repent, and I confess right now, and I repent, and I ask for your forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we just come right now just humbly before your throne, God, just giving you all the praise and all the glory. We give you all the honor on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you tonight, Father, to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, Father. I ask you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to do what you do best with us, Father. Just open up our minds and every thought that we have, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, so that we may understand your word, that we may receive your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God. We bless your name, God. We just lift your name up tonight, Lord. I'm asking you to search our hearts and our minds and our spirit. If there is anything in there, God, that should not be, remove it right now. And Father, teach us on tonight, Holy Spirit. Just teach us what you would have us to know. I just thank you right now. I pray and I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen, and praise the Lord. And Lord, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to cover their homes and their vehicles, cover them and their family, God, in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. And Father, we bind up the strong man on tonight, God. We bind the strong man up tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind him up right now. We cast him out. We command him to go. Every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment, your assignment is canceled right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Your assignment is canceled from our lives and from this broadcast. And I send you to a dry place in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm not trying to be in a hurry. That's why I had to go back over, because I want to make sure I get everything and say everything the Lord is telling me to say. Amen. So we're going to get ready to hear Alexander Scroby with the reading of the Word of God on tonight.
And the child Samuel ministered. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared.
And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel.
To show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good.
I can't do this. Okay. And he said, What is this thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Chapter 4. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out again against the Philistine to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistine pitched in Aphek. And the Philistine put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore have the Lord smitten us today before the Philistine? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hands of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there have not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hands of the mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourself like men. O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you, quit yourself like men and fight. And the Philistines fought Israel, was smitten. The Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man unto his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen, and the ark of God, and the two sons of Eli and Hophni Phinehas, was slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came to Eli, sat up on a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, What
meaneth this noise of the turmoil? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? What is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there have been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, also Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of the Covenant is taken. And it came to pass when he had made mention of the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with a child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband was dead, she bowed herself in travail, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Chapter 5. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was falling upon the ark of the Lord. And when they took Dagon and set it him in his place again, and when they arose early on tomorrow on morrow morning, behold, Dagon was falling up on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off up on the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore neither the priest of Dagon nor any that came unto Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with Imrod, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of Philistine unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of God? What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of God of Israel carry about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city about small and great, and they had hemorrhoids in their secret parts. Therefore they cried that the Akronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there, and the men that died were smitten with the emerald, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Amen.
Probably should have got the thing back started, but it's so interesting to me because this is good. This is good to me. So the first question is in chapter 3, what was Samuel's first prophecy? What was his first prophecy?
I have an answer.
Okay.
I have his first prophecy. It was in verses 11 through 14 that the Lord would do a new thing in Israel, that he would perform these things in the house of Eli. His house would be judged for the iniquity that he knew about, but that he did not restrain his sons, and that Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice or nor offering forever.
Yeah, that's it. God told him he would now carry out the word he had spoken against Eli's house and his family. You're right. Yep, because Eli, and you know, sometimes you let your children get you in trouble. because he knew about the sin that his son did, because everybody was telling him that both his sons was doing, but he did say something, but he should have removed them from being a priest. He should have removed them, because when you a priest or a leader in the house of God, you there to put things in order. Most apostles are, so I know that. And you're supposed to have things in order. You're not supposed to sit up and let anything go on in the house of God, even out of the house. If one of my leaders of the End Time Men and Women of War Life Support or the prayer room ministry step out of line, then they got to come to me. Because I'm held responsible for your soul, for your soul. So I got to say it. I got to tell it just like it is. So that's what Eli should have done. Because when the man or woman of God don't do these things like they're supposed to, the blood is on their hands. They got to do this. We must do it. God has called us to do these things. So if when we don't do it, just like Eli, at least Eli was 98 years old. You see what I'm saying? He said both of your sons going to die in the same day, both of them. Because you got to tell people, both of them were supposed to be priests, both of them. But they haven't sat in front of the house of God at the tabernacle with the women. You can't do that. That's why every leader, every pastor, every apostle, every prophet, every bishop, every leader that God has called, ordained, and sanctified, set apart, and placed in a ministry or church, and you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, shame on you, baby. That's all I got to say. I ain't going to touch it. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. It's just like this, and I'm just human. God ain't accepting no excuses no more. He used to wink at man's ignorance. Now he don't.
when you call yourself a leader of the house of God, you better get in the right spot. I'm telling you, you need to get in the right spot because God's going to deal with you. I'm going to tell you. Believe me, I'm going to tell you. It could be my mama, my daddy. I'm going to tell them because I'm not going to be held responsible for what I didn't say or for what I didn't do because, honey, I'm going to move you out of office. And I'm going to tell you, look, this and this and such and such. Yeah, well, I repent and you go ahead and repent. Until God say get back up, you down. You down. So this is where you get this from, out of the word of God. You know, you can't live any kind of way and be go before God and do the things of God and carry out. Because how you going to help somebody when you laying at the church door, screwing in the door? That's all I'm saying. Chapter 4. How did Eli's sons die?
I have an answer.
Okay.
On verse 10, when the Philistines fought in battle against Israel, where there were 30,000 footmen and died, and that's when Hophni and Phinehas also.
He said verse 10. Oh, we're in chapter 4, okay. Mm-hmm. Verse 11, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They were slain they was around the ark of the covenant because they call themselves priests. Mm-hmm. They call themselves priests. How did Eli die? I'm not going to let you answer all the questions. I know it's more than you on this line. I guess we didn't hear the reading of the word.
I can
anyway.
Answer.
Okay.
Eli fell backward, and because he was so fat, he broke his neck.
He sure did, because what Eli was doing, he was a heavy man, and he was eating good in the neighborhood. He was eating good. Yes, he was, and he was a big boy. So he knew that his sons, God was going to get his sons. He knew that. But when it came to the Ark of the Covenant, he was more concerned about that. And when he heard that part, then that's when he went back. And like she said, mm-hmm. He was so heavy that he broke his neck. He fell back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. We're in chapter 5 questions. We're going to discuss it because we got 2 more questions. And then we're just going to discuss a little bit about the things that happened. Okay. What happened to the Philistine god, Dagon, before the Ark of God? What happened to him?
He fell down from its place in the presence of the Lord.
Yes,
and
he
fell down twice, so they break the limbs, and then only the stump was left.
Yep. And God was making him bow down.
Yes.
God made him bow down before that throne, that mercy seat. Yes, he did. He bowed him down, and they was getting scared. They was like, oh, we got to go get him up. That's our God. They went and put him back up the next day. God knocked him back down. Oh, you going to bow. And then this time he broke his neck, his head off his body, and both his hands was gone. They just had the middle part of it. They hurried up and got their God out of there, away from the Ark of the Covenant. Yep. I say every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess. And so that's exactly what happened. Before I get started, does anyone have any comments? Because I'm getting ready to get. Let me see. Is there another one? Okay, it's one more. It's one more question. What happened in East City of the Philistines? What happened to them? To the cities. See, they remembered what happened to the people in Egypt and how God delivered Israel out of Egypt, and they remembered what happened, and so they was already afraid of God and the Ark of the Covenant. So when he kept throwing the idol God down to bow down, they didn't want the Ark of the Covenant in their town, in their city, because God started putting those plagues on them. They had tumors all over them, even on their private parts. They called them, what they called them in the Bible? They called them something. They called them something, but they tumors is what they were. Hemorrhoids. I thought they were hemorrhoids, but they're tumors. They tumors. And they was everywhere all over them. And then they had tumors and they had a rat plague. God let the rat come out on them. And the rat plague had, the original rats carry diseases anyway. So he allowed that to happen. And they didn't, to one city. And so they were, the Philistines was moving them from Gad to another city, to another city. And Akron, the Akronites, like, no, don't bring it here. We don't want it. Mm-hmm. And so, and we haven't got to that part. I think it's in the next chapter where they're gonna put the Ark of the Covenant out. They're gonna take it back and give it back to Israel. They're gonna take that thing back because God didn't intend for them to have it. But they felt like they saw the Israelites take it on the battlefield, but they still got beat. They got slaughtered out there because God didn't tell them to do it. This is another thing that you have to look at. When God tell you to do it, do it. But if you going without God, you messed up. Just plain and simple. You can't go without God. I don't want to be nowhere God can't go. What would you do without God? I don't care if it's the White House. I don't care where it is. I don't want to go if God can't go. Mm-mm. But they were steady taking it. They took it to the, and they saw it easily. That time, they took it out there on the battlefield, and they got slaughtered. They got slaughtered. And so the Philistines stole it from them. Now, I don't belong here, especially with no other God, thinking they more than me. He said, nah, you going to bow right now. That's why they was on the ground. This is how this roadmap is showing us how to do things. It's showing us how to live from the Old Testament on up until the New Testament. It's nothing new to happen today under the sun. Everything that's happening now has already happened. It's already happened. I'm just telling you. And you can find something in the Bible that can take care of anything you're going through. Anything. They talked about strokes and everything in the Bible. They had gays way back there in the Bible. They had them then, like they got them now. So it's nothing new under the sun. But this right here lets us know as leaders that we have to do what God called us to do. We can't sit around. We can't sugarcoat stuff. Can't nobody pay me to say nothing. I'm not going to preach because you paid your tithes. I'm not preaching for that. I'm getting my reward from God anyway. I'm not doing that. I'm going to tell it just like it is. And if it hurts your feelings, you deal with God about it. But the truth will set you free. I don't care who you are, Mr. President. I love you, but abortions kill. You see what I'm saying? Mr. President, I'm just telling you, I'm a Democrat. That's who I voted for. I'm not with abortion. I'm just not. I love everybody, you know, but that's me. That's me. I'm just who God made me to be. Now, other people they can do, but that's just me. And I'm not saying a woman's supposed to let somebody else tell them what to do with their body. No. But God says, "Thou shalt not kill." So it ain't me. It's God. It's God. But I'm telling you, we got to love Democrats. We got to love Republicans. We got to love Putin. We got to love independents. We got to love everybody. So whether they are or not, we got to love them anyway. So we may as well keep our heart together and don't put no limit on the love that God has given us. So we can, this is what we supposed to do. This is how we stay in alignment with God. This is how we stay in his will. That's why all you always hear me repenting, because we can think something crazy in our mind. We ain't got to open our mouth. But this is how we learning the word of God. Because if you don't know the word of God, people perish because they don't know the word for the life of knowledge, because they doing wrong and don't know they doing wrong, sinning against God and don't know they sinning against God because they don't study. They don't know. They just listen to the preacher talk. I don't want y'all to listen to me. I want y'all to get right in it. Right in it. People perish for the lack of knowledge. That they do. So, but with this, when we first started in Genesis and we went on down through Exodus, where they've had the mercy seat sitting there, and God met them there at the mercy seat, sitting right between the cherubim wings, and that's where they would go and talk to God. That's where they would go. So they would always take the Ark of the Covenant because he was always right there, always. But I was reading some commentary, and they figured out that God ain't always just right there. He's not all, because he didn't save the Israelites. He didn't save them. The 70,000 died from being disobedient and hard-headed, going before the Lord. Instead of, he said, in all thy ways acknowledge me. Now, if they had acknowledged them, Lord, that's why I be trying to say, Lord, this and Lord, that. Lord, where is my keys? Help me find my keys, Holy Spirit. I just talk to him. And believe me, he do it. He'll do it. But, and then one of them boys' wife had that birth. See, because he said, wasn't nobody else going to get old in Eli's home. That late, the wife died giving birth to the baby, and the baby name is Ichabod. And Ichabod means the glory has departed from the church, wherever. I've heard people say it's Ichabod over there at that church. The glory had departed. And so what I'm saying is, because they took the Ark of the Covenant, the glory departed. That's what they were talking about. Any questions or any comments? Because I just took over. I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. I have a question. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
For the chapter 5, what verse were those answers in for number 1 and 2?
Let me see. Okay, let me find it. Three. And when Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of the Dagon and both of his palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. And which one? And which other one? One and two. Okay, let me see. It was probably, let me see. Let me read this. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people, for there was a deadly destruction throughout all of the city. The hand of God was very heavy there, and the men that died not were smitten with the inroads, and the cry of the city went up to heaven, it's over here in 6:2, but the hand of the Lord was very heavy upon Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with inroads, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. See, it was all down in 6 and 7.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because they were taking it from one city to another, just trying to get rid of it. But they were steadily telling them, "Don't bring it here. We don't want that stuff here." They were trying to get rid of it. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, when you defy God in any way, when you defy him, you know, it's just not good. It's just not good. Either you repent. You have to repent, I'm telling you. You have to repent daily, but you have to let the Lord know that I repent, Lord. And it's not a tradition to repent. We should repent every day. You know, we tell God we're sorry. We wake up, we thank him. You know, we ask him for forgiveness if we've done anything. You know, and we have done something, because he said we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And if we say we don't sin, we are a liar, and the truth is not in us. That's in the word of God. But we have to repent. We have to. Mm-hmm. But still, And like I say, the leaders, because I only, most of the time, I only have leaders that's attached to this ministry. If they're not in leadership, when they get to this ministry, they'll soon be in leadership position, in a leadership position, and that's, you have to be bold for God when you get in a position like that. You can't sit around and know that somebody doing wrong around you, and you don't say nothing. You just sit there and let them do it. Mm-mm. God is not pleased with that. Sometimes he could be testing you just to see what you're going to do. You have to really, and here, it's a way to say anything. You don't say, well, this, and get all smart. You talk to them. Let them know that's not the way. You know, you telling the truth, though. But it's a way to do anything, because God, each one of y'all that's under this ministry, your souls are on me. So believe me, I'm going to tell you when you're wrong. Tell you when you're right. Tell you when you're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's my job. Preach the word. Lead the people. Love them. Lead them. That's it. But yeah, it's really, really, I knew the book of Samuel was just full of stuff, and we haven't even got to 2, but in chapter 6, you're going to get a whole lot more even then. You're going to get a whole lot out of the book of Samuel. It's just exciting to me, but it teaches you so much. It's like I said, now I know a lady, she was my spiritual mom years ago, over almost 30 years ago, and she had 2 sons, and both of her sons died hours apart in 2 different places. They did. I couldn't even go to the funeral because I know she was tore up. I don't know who could stand something like that. You know, both of your sons the same day in a few hours, honey, shoot. But She stood on the word of God. She probably told them because she was a heavy, heavy prophet. Heavy prophet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to watch what we do. And we stay in this word, we'll learn more and more and more. We're going to go on through this word and get on back to through Genesis because, like I said before, that's what we learn in Genesis. What tribe we came out of. Mm-hmm. And everybody ought to know that, where they come from. Mm-hmm. You just didn't land here from the start, from your mom. You came out of from a tribe. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have a comment.
Okay.
In chapter 3, where the Lord was speaking to Samuel, and he would go back mm-hmm. to Eli because he thought his dad was talking to him, and his dad mm-hmm. his son was him. And I think, if I'm not sure, but I think that Eli knew that it was the Lord that was speaking to him. But when I was reading through that, and he like said something to him one time, Samuel said something to him a second, Samuel, and then a third time. It kind of reminded me sometime of how things happen in now, like when the mm-hmm. Lord is speaking to us, because sometimes he said, because you got to know his voice. You got to know the voice
right.
of the Lord. And he did
That's
not.
Right.
I don't know whether it was that he really didn't know the voice of the Lord at that time, but
he
did. The first thing I thought about was that's sometimes how we miss the mark. Is because God,
yeah.
God is always speaking to us, and sometimes he's talking to us, but we might hear him, but we're not understanding him because of whatever relationship or whatever. But that was the comment when I read through that, and I was listening, hearing how Samuel was God was speaking to him, but he didn't know the voice of the Lord, and so
yep, he didn't know, right?
Yeah.
It says, in the first, it says, go ahead, baby.
No, I was done.
the first verse, I think you see it in the child Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli and the word of the Lord. On one knee, it says he didn't know God. Let me see. But have you ever experienced, have anybody ever experienced hearing somebody call them?
When you say somebody call us, which
call your name.
Oh.
Hmm?
Just call your name.
You have experienced it.
Huh? I mean, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, I think we all have, you know, once upon a time in our life, somebody could be in your house. You could have, and you think they calling you, and it's really not them.
Yeah. That's what I was just asking them, because I know I have. I really have. I'm experiencing a lot of things now, which I'm really kind of finding out what's happening to me, but I have really heard people call me before, you know, a person, and somebody said, don't answer, because they might be from the dead or some. Jesus, this is God calling Samuel, and he started jumping up saying, Eli, you're calling me. Eli saying, no, I'm not. After the third time, Eli was like, there's God calling this boy. You know? So, I mean, these are experiences that you can have. Like she said, everybody have sometime or another. But, yeah. I really feel like going on with me, though, but I'm finding and learning more and more, and God is taking me deeper and higher in him. So it's just something that I had never experienced before that I'm experiencing now. And it's just something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't hear him calling me now, but it's just other things that's happening that I had to get help with today. And I kind of now understand what it was. Mm-hmm. Any more comments or questions? I really enjoyed everything. I really, really did. So we're going to get ready to close out then on Tuesday. We'll be right back here for our Bible class, and we'll have 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited about it because this is where, see, the book of Samuel, Jesus come down through this book, through this generation. He's coming down through this generation. When you hear me preaching, I say, he come down through 40 and two generations. He coming through this generation. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Jesus at the wall through this book, the book of Samuel. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting because I done been through it before, so I get excited, and I learn something new every time I go over the Bible. I learn something new. Mm-hmm. Put in a different way or something. But God bless you all. I thank and praise God for each one of you. We just got to keep pressing on. We got to study this word, know it, and apply it to our lives. That's what we got to do. We have to apply this word to our lives. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for opening up our understanding tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we give you glory for your word, for the word of God. I just thank him. I just thank you, Lord, for everyone that's under the sound of my voice. I ask you to cover them and their families tonight in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory. We give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen, amen. God bless you all. I'll be on the live tomorrow morning at the same time. And then I don't want you to forget about Saturday. Prophetess Brown will be on the radio broadcast praying on Saturday at 11 o'clock Central Time, 12 o'clock Eastern Time, 12 noon, 11 o'clock Central, and 12 o'clock noon Central Time. She'll be on praying on this radio broadcast. So I'm just letting everybody know that we're going to support her. Okay, God bless you all. I love you. You all have a good rest of your evening. Enjoy.
God bless you.
Love you.
Amen.
Love you.
God bless.